You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Good morning, friends. You're tuned in to episode 98 of Gamer Heroes, the weekly show where we talk about news, reviews, and anything else happening in games today. My name is Cam Koenig. With me, as always, is my boy, Thomas Egan.
That's me.
That's you. How you doing?
I'm great.
Good. I'm really glad to hear that.
Man, this heat wave is over. Like, it's not swelteringly
it's
hot out anymore.
It's over. It's still pretty fucking hot out.
What? Today? No way.
I mean, that might just be the fact that my car doesn't have air conditioning anymore. Like,
you know,
air conditioning is not a word.
I think that's a good reason for you to think it might be hot.
Yeah, like, okay, I'll give you that. Like, every time I got out of the car, it felt fucking great.
But it felt so good today.
Good Lord.
Last week was just too much. It was oppressive. And actually, it was hard to do anything. It's hard to do anything besides video games at
sure,
my house
totally.
or you know, just anything inside because I would go to work all day and just melt. I mean, I work outside.
That's right. Yeah, you work outside. So, God, that sounds terrible.
Boy, it just is so draining. I mean, I would get home and I would just have to take like almost 45 minutes just to cool off, like just for my body to get back into homeostasis there. And that's a good on a weekday. That's a good chunk of your time.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So I would sit there and I literally lie on the floor, play Hearthstone, and just like drink some water. But I just felt, I felt like I was cooked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad that's over because it just makes it hard to do anything.
Oh, absolutely. Like, so the day I got back for, I think it was whenever we recorded last episode. No, it was the day before because I was just too exhausted. I had just gotten back from Utah and I just started a new job that day. And it was also really hot. And that was the day that my air conditioner in my car just died. Like, it's been gone for a week, which is the worst week of the year, probably, for that to happen.
Yeah.
And I just got home and just felt like so weak and exhausted. Like, I think I had heat exhaustion.
Yeah, you probably did.
And then drank a lot of water and then fell asleep on the couch at like 7 o'clock. Because that's what you do.
You probably did have heat exhaustion.
I probably did. But this isn't a heat exhaustion. Boy, maybe I have it now. This is not a heat exhaustion podcast.
It could be, though. It's hot heat, and man, I'm exhausted from listening to it. Anyway, is that the end of the show?
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. That's going to be the show. Video games.
Video games.
I haven't been playing a whole lot of new ones, which seems to
wait a minute. Well, okay, I understand what you mean. Also, the past 2 weeks, you've been like, check out these 20 games I played at RTS.
Sure, yeah, no, it's been kind of...
Yeah, I know those are two different things.
It's been kind of nice for me to just be able to regress back into kind of the old and familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of oldest and familiarist, I'm still playing that Pokemon trading card game. So I've been playing it on my PC, just kind of here and there, just like hop in, maybe play like a game or two. I never really got back into deck building a little bit, but I've just been playing like the theme decks you can get because I just like playing that game. I think it's a really cool format. I've always really liked it. I think the prize cards thing is neat, and I also just really like Pokemon. But so this past Saturday, I had to take my car to the shop to see what it's going to take to get my air conditioner fixed. Spoiler alert, I'm getting a new car.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to have to buy a new car, but it's great. Super happy about it.
Well, kind of actually good for you.
No, I need it. My car's terrible.
Yeah.
But I basically just sat at the Starbucks for like 4 hours and just played the Pokemon trading card game online on my PC. And it's fun. It's like very flashy. It's like this cool thing. There's like that client's cool and there's like some decent single player stuff, but it is very much just playing the game over and over and over again. Like,
yeah.
I do wish it felt a little bit more like the Game Boy Color game, where there was like, hey, you go to these different clubs and like you build your deck as you like get these cards and open booster packs by getting like it's essentially like a Pokemon story, but instead of battling the Pokemon, you're just playing a card game, you know? So like basically a Yu-Gi-Oh take on Pokemon, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
From like a plot perspective.
Are you if you're using the same decks every time, because the theme decks, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a deck that you chop into pieces and make a custom one. You're using the same
set. So I have been doing that, but there is a full deck creator. And that kind of gets me into some of the problems I have with that client.
Yeah.
So there's, I'm going to say no microtransactions in heavy quotes here. because there's not any that you can actually get through the game. The way that you actually, you can get cards by getting in-game currency, by like playing matches against people online. There's like daily challenges that get you either like a booster pack or some in-game currency, which is cool.
That's nice.
Great. The challenges take a while to play through. Like they're daily challenges, but some of them is like, hey, do 750 damage or knock out 12 Pokemon with like this type. Mm-hmm. And
dude, the daily challenges, the battle pass in Apex has what you suggested that they should do, which I think Fortnite does, where it's like, hey, land, you know, loot 10 supply crates in Thunderdome. And that one's like a weekly one. But the daily ones are usually like, get 3 kills with Mirage. Get, you know, this, you know, hit 2 or like scan 2 enemy traps as Bloodhound or something like that. And you're like, okay, like if I work at it, I can do it. The traps one is a little harder. But then it'll be like, get 6 headshots with a sniper rifle. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Is that all? Does it have to be in one game or does it carry across?
Some of them are like that, but usually it's get 6 in the whole day in any matches. But still, that's hard. Like on console, 6, man.
I don't think the ones in Pokemon are very hard. They're just really time consuming. And
well,
maybe it
ends up being is like you can get there. You're just gonna have, if you're like me, right, especially if you're playing on console, you're just gonna have to play a while.
So I don't know if you played the Pokemon trading card game just at all.
Never.
Okay, so
basically my only card game knowledge is basically Hearthstone.
Okay.
And Magic the
Gathering. Not gonna get into like the full rules because I could probably explain how that game sort of plays in the entire episode, but I'm not going to. But essentially there are these 6 prize cards that you and your opponent have that are like set up at the beginning of the match. Whenever you knock out their Pokemon, you take a prize card. One of the win conditions, and the one that you see most likely happening, is you collect all of your prize cards.
Mm-hmm.
But that, like, that challenge is knock out 12 Pokemon with this type, and you're not always, like, if I have a fighting type, you're not always going to get a fighting type Pokemon, like luck of the draw. That's just like literally not always going to happen just because of the way probability works.
Right.
But that means you're essentially playing like 2-3 games to just complete one challenge, which doesn't sound too bad if you look at like a bunch of other card games, but Pokemon games can take anywhere from like 5 minutes to an hour. They can last a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to like that kind of microtransaction thing, the way that you get more cards other than like getting like kind of grinding out that in-game currency and buying packs in there is buying actual packs of cards, and then they come with a code. You enter that code online and then you get that same pack. It's not one-to-one the same cards.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another random instance, like a digital pack of the same one, which is kind of neat if you're into that. The thing that kind of rubs me the wrong way about that is there's like a full-on trading system in the game. So if you want to build a deck out, you can totally like trade the cards that you have with other people. Except you can only trade the cards, like the only cards that are actually tradable are the ones that you paid money for. So if you buy something with in-game currency, then it's a lot harder for you to try and like make a competitively viable deck if you want to, just because the game straight up will not let you trade anything that you buy with like in-game currency or that you earn through playing the game, which I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, that kind of stinks.
Yeah, that's really kind of my only real hang up with it. But this past weekend I got kind of really into, and I never even really did this with Hearthstone a whole lot, but I got into just taking I took a theme deck that I liked to play, and then I just started messing with it. So it's like kind of neat to have this like kind of base thing. I was like, okay, well, maybe if I put this item or this like supporter trainer in here, this can help me do this kind of a thing. And like certain Pokemon have different abilities and a lot of other stuff like that. And I had a lot of fun doing that. But I don't know if I'm going to keep doing that. And also, I don't think I'm ever going to really get into playing the actual physical version of the game. I thought about it for a while, but I'm really like collecting a whole lot more than I actually do spending a ton of money on a deck that's just going to get rotated out in a couple of seasons or just essentially be taken out by like the meta. Like I tried that once and it just never really appealed to me. I had fun playing it, but yeah, so I played a whole lot of that this weekend and then just kind of haven't thought about it since. So maybe that was me just kind of getting all of that out of my system
yeah.
for like probably 4 more days before I pick it back up.
Yep. I this weekend we played a bunch of Minecraft. The story of that is that we played a whole bunch real fast, and then we set it down for like 6 months or a year, and then we come back to it, you know, and every time we come back to it, there's a big update, and we're like, oh, cool, look at all this cool stuff. But it totally is like a get it out of our system kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because we'll just be super interested in it, and then we'll wait a couple weeks and come back, and we'll be like, yeah, I'm good. You know, so we haven't hit that threshold yet, but I've been enjoying that. I've been playing Hearthstone. I bought the solo adventure that came out with the most recent expansion, the Dalaran Heist.
Ooh.
And it's cool. It's definitely the biggest single player release they've ever had.
Really?
And I didn't realize just how much there was to it. So it's broken into like five chapters. And the first chapter is unlocked for free, but you can only choose one class out of the nine classes to play. And you can only choose one of the three deck types to actually use. And so I wanted to play more, and I was like, well, I could use my in-game currency, but I'm saving that up for the expansion that's going to drop soon. So I just decided to spend $20 on it. And dude, that thing is worth $20. Like,
really?
I opened
it up. That's really cool to hear.
So there are five wings, five chapters, and every chapter has nine. Every hero class has their own deck. And then when you, like, the more you play one, so like I played the Shaman one for the first time today. And so you start with the basic set, which is fun. They're all fun. And then if I play like 25 totems over the course of the heist, I will unlock the second deck that it has for me. And if I play overload cards, it'll unlock the third deck. But that means that there are 27 decks total, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And what really makes the game pop is, you know, each chapter has different bosses. All the bosses are very clever and fun. Each of the fights are all unique, and you don't know which order you're going to fight the bosses in. So in one game, you might fight a boss first, and it's, you know, whoever you fight first, you're probably just going to crush, and it's going to be over really fast. But, you know, maybe the next time you play that chapter, that first boss is actually going to be your final boss, because each time the enemy boss gets more health, gets upgraded cards and all this stuff. So that same mechanic applies, but now the deck is good. So, you know, as a final boss, they might be super difficult. But you do all that, and then as you beat each boss, you get to add three more cards to your deck, and you get three options of three. So you get...
Thomas, don't do this to me.
Don't play it, but the next time we're together, ask me for my phone, and you should play.
I want to check this out.
You should. Actually,
I will play this, and I'll just like hand you Slay the Spire.
That'd be cool, because... I'd actually probably give you my... Oh, well, shoot. I'll just put it on that computer.
No, yeah, totally. I don't have this. I don't have anything. I think I actually uninstalled Hearthstone, but I mean, I can reinstall it. And just
Another. You should play it.
I'll check it out for sure.
Because the nice thing about that, you know, I already purchased the content, but you don't need to, like, I don't have to buy cards. Even if I just bought Hearthstone and I had no cards, you don't have to own any cards for that. All the cards are just provided for you.
Everything's just like self-contained.
Yeah. That's so cool. When you unlock it, you do stuff, and you get these special treasures that only exist in the solo adventure. So one of them is like steal three cards out of your opponent's hand.
Hell yeah.
Which is so good.
So is this kind of like that dungeon run? Cause that was around the time, like the Kobolds and Catacombs dungeon run was like the time that like right after that came out. I played that for few months and loved it, and then just that was around the time that I fell off of Hearthstone again.
So imagine it's that, except there are five of those and 27 decks.
God damn it.
But really, each of the decks is fun. You have all sorts of unique hero powers. I had no idea how much content was in there. The takeaway should be that there is so much fresh content in there that it just feels brand spanking new. And you don't even have to be very good at the game. You can learn how to play through that. Of course, it's like not at all like normal play,
sure,
because you've got crazy ass things in there, that you'd never put in a normal deck. But, boy, is it sure fun. and I have so much more to unlock. Today I was playing the Tavern Brawl. It's the Fire Festival. I mentioned that last time we were together.
Get those bologna sandwiches for everyone.
That's right. And the Tavern Brawl right now is basically the same as the Dalaran Heist, kind of. But you're using the Dalaran Heist bosses, like the decks, to fight the bosses in Blackwing Lair and Blackrock Mountain and stuff. So you're fighting Ragnaros and all this stuff. Every once in a while, you'll see those bosses in the normal Tavern Brawls. But in this one, you fight them like an adventure, like you're talking about with Kobolds and Catacombs and blah, blah, blah. But the point is, a lot of fun, lots of bosses. I'm having way more fun with the solo content than I've ever had before. I never thought I'd spend money on the solo content, at least not like cash rather than the in-game currency.
Sure, yeah.
It's cool. It's really refreshing. I'm already feeling really good about that game because I keep building. I keep doing kind of what you'd said, where you take a theme, like you can pick a theme and build around that theme and just have fun. And who knows if you're going to win.
Totally.
But it's fun to build the deck when you've got...
It's really satisfying to see that stuff kind of materialize as you're going along with certain ideas, and like you improvise to kind of help certain things along and like quench different parts of your deck that you don't like. It's a really cool
thing.
Yeah, you're
like, oh, I thought this was going to work, but in five games, it hasn't worked even once.
Right.
So maybe I take it out. I love doing that because when I'll find a card, there are a few cards in Hearthstone that I really like, and I just never, ever can get them to work in my favor.
Yeah.
Not the way I want. But what I've done is if I can find a way, even to make a really crummy, low-tier deck that kind of works with that stuff, it's really fun because you don't see decks that have, you know, whatever gimmick you pick. You know, usually I like to pick like a blue card, one that's not too crazy.
Sure.
But that I like, and build a theme around that and see where it takes me, because you're not going to see as many themed decks around, you know, blue cards as you will around, you know, the legendaries and stuff. And what that means is the deck that you create is a deck that's new to you, but it's also new to your opponents. So they're not really going to know what to expect. They're going to expect you're going to play some deck that you read, that you found online, that's really strong or something like that. But it's super exciting, I think, to just pick something and make a deck because you think it's cool, not because it's going to win. Lots of people play to win and that's how they have their fun, and that's great.
Yeah. More power to them.
Yeah.
I know whenever I'm looking, so I kind of looked around for a couple of deck lists for Pokemon this weekend while I was playing, just to kind of see what
I looked around
was,
for a couple of decades.
I was just wanting to see what was kind of going on in like the current standard format meta. And I consciously noticed that I didn't really care to play like the top five.
Oh yeah.
I always want to play the stuff that just seems really fun to me. Like I like ones where you're just kind of doing a whole lot of stuff in one turn, or you're like leaning really hard in on a gimmick that just is kind of cool, and then you just have to apply that weird gimmick or trick in a certain way and kind of just make that work. Like mill decks, I played a whole lot of in Hearthstone, where you just try and burn them out of cards and stall the game as long as possible. I love that shit.
Yeah.
It's just fun. And it's really fun whenever that stuff works out, but I also don't really care as long as I'm having fun doing those things.
My friend Ben came over. We played Hearthstone in person the other day, and I got him to play my Steel Priest deck, which is super fun because it's a totally different game depending on what your opponent plays. So I played one of his decks. I played a Mech Paladin. So for anybody who isn't familiar with Hearthstone, mechs are really good with other mechs, and Paladin, like the Paladin class, buffs your minions a lot. So, you know, you'll just put a minion on the field and then make it huge. You know, you'll make it big and scary. I was playing the mech warrior deck, and Ben kept stealing all of the mech stuff out of it, just copying more of it. So like there's a legendary in there that, it's called Snip Snap, but the details don't matter. It's very, very, very good. And legendary cards, you can only put one of those in your deck at a time. Like, that's the one rule about legendaries. You can only have one of them in your deck. Well, because his deck copies what's in mine, he copied three No, he copied four of those legendaries. So he had four of those legendaries in his deck now, and I only had one. But the odds that he pulled that were so low, but just hilarious. So it got to a point. Of course, we're sitting side by side, so he just keeps laughing every time he copies something. And I'm just like, oh, would you steal another one of those things? And he's like, yep. And it got to a point where it was very clear I couldn't possibly win. There was a 0% chance. Mm. I had basically used everything I could. And so he had made this one monster. He'd stolen this monster from me that was already pretty strong. And he started buffing it up. He started making it bigger and bigger. And I told him, I said, all right, you win this, but let's see between both of us how strong we can make this minion. Because my whole deck is buff cards, and you have all of my cards times two. You know, you have my deck doubled. So we ended up getting this dragon all the way up to exactly 100 attack.
Hell yeah.
It was like 100 attack and like 60 something. I don't know.
That's fucking awesome.
But then because we played it outright, I made it to the last card in my hand at the end of the game was a card that said double a minion's attack. Well, he had a card in his hand that said copy a random card out of your opponent's hand. Well, since I only had one, I doubled that, and then he doubled it. So we got this dragon up to exactly 400 attack in that game. Man, that was really, it was
just a little bit above 30.
So satisfying. Yeah, I had like 3 health, and he did 400 damage. But that was fun to just to play the game out and have fun, but then also turn around and just make our own game out of it. I mean, kind of like that custom creation episode of Challenge Mode we had.
Right.
You know, we were like, all right, well, we played the game. Now let's make our own. Yeah. So I kind of appreciated that. That's definitely something you can only do with like friends. Like you can't do that with a stranger.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, they got to be down. And a lot of the people who are like playing like a ladder match are just like, no, fuck this.
Yeah.
I want to
win. Well, even if I was in casual. Also, like, because we were able to coordinate that like last card in my hand thing, that's the only way we could have hit that.
Sure.
Because otherwise the person would have just cast it earlier.
Yeah.
That was a fun novel thing. So
I remember there was whenever Hearthstone kind of first launched and throughout like the first few expansions, there were some YouTubers going around that just tried to see what they could do and see how much damage they could possibly do in one turn. And it was always this really fun thing to kind of watch, like almost this weird arms race of whoever could do the best math. You know, it was a really cool thing to experience.
That's my favorite thing about Hearthstone when I'm playing just a really weird deck, is you've got to figure out what the numbers are going to be before everything plays out. It's like Into the Breach, where you're like, okay, if I do this, this, and this, okay, perfect, here we go. But then after you make the first move, you see something you didn't account for, and you're like, crap, I nullified my entire equation. Now I've got to do this on the fly.
Right.
I really like those decks where it's just like I have a mage deck that's, you know, if you do X, then this card does one random damage to an enemy minion. And so you have to specifically like look at the odds, like count your cards, you know, and say, I'm potentially going to have 5 damage go out, but it might hit in a way that I don't like, so I need to be prepared for that and blah, blah, blah. But you're sitting there rolling the dice, but you're trying to figure out the probability that's in your favor. But that's a real casual deck. Most of the decks like that have randomness to them don't end up on the ladder. But that's fine. That means the deck I made with the toad that spits magic everywhere,
right,
that I don't see very many decks that focus around that. So anyway, that stuff's fun. My favorite part about Hearthstone is the randomly generated stuff. It's why a lot of people bounce off of it, and that's totally understandable. But I love that random stuff. It just makes everything a little wacky.
Hey, Thomas, I have breaking news.
Oh, do you?
Are you ready for some breaking news?
I'm ready for some breaking news.
Team Rocket has been added to Pokemon Go.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
With Shadow Pokemon. Yeah.
That sounds spooky.
This is actually really fucking cool. I'm
really
excited about this.
Wait, what is it? Shadow Pokemon?
So did you ever play the GameCube Pokemon Coliseum games?
No.
Pokemon Coliseum and Pokemon XD, Gale of Darkness.
OG Stadium.
So I don't remember if Pokemon Coliseum had this or not. I actually never played them, but I'm aware of them. But one of them had this mechanic where I think the bad guys had these like corrupted versions of these Pokemon, and you could catch them And then you had to like go through this long process to like purify them. And then they basically became just like the regular Pokemon. But like their big thing that they had was Shadow Lugia. And
you mean Shadow Luigi?
Yes, Shadow Luigi. I think I just that's our podcast title. Thanks. Yeah, so like you would have to go through this like process and like purify them, and like you would get them from the bad guys, but then like kind of cleanse the corruption over time by doing like battling with them or something. I always thought that was really cool, and then Pokemon Go is just like, hey, we're doing that too, and I'm like, fuck yeah, like that's fucking cool.
All right.
So yeah, I'm just kind of doing some early look at what exactly is going on, but I mean, I'm still playing a whole lot of Pokemon Go, so I'm very excited about that.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. Lizzie still plays. We just went to a wedding this past weekend, and Lizzie was recounting a story of a couple years ago ish, year and a half ago. She was out in this neighborhood, and they made a girls' night of like they were just hanging out. You know, they weren't going to see each other for a while, so they just wanted to spend time together.
Sure.
So what they did, they just went on a walk around their nice neighborhood, and Pokemon Go'd. They just went and caught Pokemon and did all the stuff because there are a bunch of art fixtures and fountains and stuff. And I was like, that's cool. I'd never heard that story.
I mean, like straight up, most of the reason that I'm still playing it is because it's exercise. Like mm-hmm. I just like I struggle with ADHD, and it's really hard for me to just do any sort of like regular exercise because my brain just gets bored and distracted the entire time. So if I have something that's constantly engaging me, like catching Pokemon, then it works out. Like mm-hmm. I walked for like yesterday of the day of this recording was like one of the monthly community days where you could catch a fuckload of Mudkips, and I caught a fuckload of Mudkips. I walked for like 3 hours.
Really?
Yeah, it was great. I felt great.
Except nice. For
almost passing out, but that's the point. But no, it's cool. It's a really, really great for exercise, and a lot of people turned up for that. It was really cool.
That's awesome. Do you think Nintendo will ever come out with like a really nice like Fitbit competitor? I know there's like the watch. Is it a watch? There's something that works as a pedometer.
I don't think they will. Are you talking about like the that step counter that came with like the DS games, like Heart Gold and Soul Silver?
Yeah, I mean, even if they didn't, I mean, this could be in 10 years, but they've always pushed towards like, hey, do you want to save and go outside?
Yeah, kind of stuff. That's true. I don't know.
Exploring the world.
I don't see them ever doing that, just because I think they're kind of comfortable where they are. I think it's also worth bringing up that like Pokemon Company and Nintendo are technically separate entities.
So I always forget that.
Kind of do whatever they want. Like Pokemon Sleep is a thing.
Lol.
Like that's going to be a thing that's like a sleep tracker where you like set it next to your bed and it like tracks your sleep.
What a silly thing.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, they've always been one to kind of lean in on like some gimmicks, but I don't think I'd ever see them going full in onto that. And because also like the Pokemon
I'm
Go
Plus. I'm pledging
it
right now. Today is someday in July, maybe
July
the
22nd.
Okay, heck yeah. I'm calling it July 22nd, 2019. Whoops. In the next 10 years.
Okay.
I know that's a long time.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, they could come out with it in 3 years.
2029.
Yeah, that's... I'll say 5 years. Ten is too easy.
All right.
In the next 5 years, I think Nintendo's going to come out with a better version of like the pedometer they had in the past. That could be as simple as an app on your phone that tracks it, that does some other gimmick.
I mean, that's all Pokemon Go does. Like, you can track your steps and everything outside of the app now.
Right, but I mean even, like, game-focused. I think they'll either do one that's less game-intense, where, like, straight up, Pokemon Go is like, I have my phone in my hand, I'm looking at it, and I'm walking. I'm imagining one that's more passive, where it's like, hey, this is in my pocket, it's tracking my steps, and then when I open up my phone at the end of the day, it does a thing. So like I would count all my steps at work, and then at home it'd be like, hey, you unlocked 3 Pokemon or something.
I mean, Pokemon Go does that.
It does?
Yes.
When the phone's not on you.
Yes. So they added in, I don't remember when it was, but it was way after launch. It's called Adventure Sync, to where you can just like keep your phone in your pocket and it uses Google Fit data, or I'm on Android, so it uses Google Fit data to basically track your steps, and then tracks your distance walked, and then it just adds that to all of your counters in game. And you're giving me a look like you're about to install Pokemon Go, aren't you?
I don't know about that, but I'm glad I won this bet, because
to be fair, it happened before you made the bet.
Well, look, let's not get mixed up in numbers here. I really had no idea that existed.
Yeah,
so
no, it's really cool. Should have done my research. I just like leave it in my phone. I leave my phone in my pocket. Ugh, I'm all over the place today. And like just like throw a bunch of eggs and like incubators and then just all collect like maybe a kilometer and a half just from being at work.
I absolutely knew about the eggs. Yeah. So I did know about that.
Yeah, but also like you can have like your buddy Pokemon that walk with you and all of that stuff. And the game, if you walk like 50 kilometers in a week, then it like gives you a whole bunch of rewards. It gives you rewards at 5, 25, and 50.
So. Should I start doing this so I can like trade Pokemon with Lizzie when this game goes on?
Yeah.
When the new one comes on?
Sure. Yeah.
That might make her day. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast.
I need some people to trade Pokemon with me because, I have some research tasks that need done, but that's besides the point.
I might actually do that because...
That's fine. That's cool.
I might actually do that because...
It's fun.
I've thought about it. I don't think I'm going to get the new Pokemon game because Lily's going to play with her brother anyway, so she don't need me.
Okay.
But
don't worry. I'm going to talk a whole lot about it when it comes out.
Perfect. I'm interested in hearing about it.
Great. I'm really excited about it.
I'm going to be struggling even when WoW comes out to play that with the KC WoW people. But I might do the pedometer stuff and trade Lizzie some Pokemon. That'd be kind of cool. If I could just like catch my favorite Pokemon and then...
You can already trade her some Pokemon from Let's Go.
That's right. They did make that announcement.
Pokemon Go, then she's probably already done that.
What's the new one? They said that you cannot trade stuff that's not like native.
If they're in the Galar Dex, which is Gen 8, like the Pokemon that are essentially in the game data for Sword and Shield are the only ones that can be traded to and from.
So like if Electabuzz isn't already in the in the game, there's no data for it. There's no image or anything.
It just won't work because they're wanting to prioritize development elsewhere, which I get. It's a whole big conversation that I don't have the time or energy to get into right now.
That's fair. Well, I need to train one Pokemon that will make it in that game so I can
Pokemon that you ever see in a trailer is for sure in that game, if that helps. Like Charizard's in Sword and Shield.
Well, boy, they'd be foolish if Charizard was not in that game.
That's fair.
So, we'll see. Anyway, I'm not so invested, but I might still... I might make that an excuse for Lizzie and I to start walking around town together.
One last game I want to get into before we take a break and get into just another segment here is I'm still playing Destiny 2. Shout out to Morgan because you said that if I mention this one more time that you were going to buy the game. So
buy it.
What's up? I'm still just playing the shit out of that game. And for a while I was like, I don't know if I'm really enjoying this. And then every time I do that, like I just like hop in and play some games with some friends and it's just back on board 100%. I did a couple of the like pretty decently long quests to get some like super rare, quote exotic, is what that kind of super high level tier of item is called. And it's just like this big long winding quest that takes a whole while. This is really cool. But there was another quest that I did that I just really think is neat. And I heard about it whenever it actually happened a while back, but I going through it, I'm just like, oh no, this is pretty fucking cool. So, I'm going to go ahead and preface this by saying nothing that it's like promising has actually happened yet. I'm hoping that this does start to at least materialize in like the new expansion that's dropping this fall. But I would imagine that this is something that we kind of see go later on down the line. But there, the character that runs Gambit is called the Drifter. He's kind of a shady dude. And there's this quest.
Wait, so Gambit, like the PB, like, the.
Yeah. He's essentially like the player. He's like the NPC, like tied to Gambit.
He'd be like the gladiator, there's a word for it. Now this is a bad example. But yeah, he's the guy you talk to who runs the show.
Yeah, think about it in terms of like Gambit is like kind of sort of a criminal activity. Like he's a rogue trying to get you in on this thing because it's fun. So like there's a whole bunch of lore stuff and all of that. But you essentially go on this big quest. And once you get to a certain point at that quest, you come back to him and he's just like, hey, I need you to make a decision here. are you with me or are you against me? And you essentially get the option right there to choose between siding with the Drifter and kind of doing the shadier side of things, or siding with the Vanguard, who are like kind of the people, like the team of like military force behind like the Guardians, like your quote good guys in this, like you are, for basically up until this point, you are or can be acting on behalf of the Vanguard. Like it's this big like organization in like Destiny lore, and you straight up get to pick like which side you want to go on. And the game straight up tells you, it's like, hey, your decision is going to be locked to this character from this point on. There will be instances where you will get different dialogue options. You will get different like items and drops. You will get different quests. You will get different content altogether than somebody else who picked this other path. And I think that's really fucking cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I like that.
I'm sure other MMOs have done something like that before, but it was not something that I was kind of expecting out of Destiny. Like it is wild how that game kind of continues to impress me in ways that, and I think that a lot of that might just be the fact that I'm just like, oh yeah, this is an MMO. Holy shit. Cause MMOs, a lot of stuff like this is common. Like you go on long winding quests in like World of Warcraft or something like that to get this special weapon, you know, and that's exactly what like an exotic quest is. But since it plays like it's a Bungie first person shooter, it's just something I never really kind of expected.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. And I'm really excited to see what becomes of that. Cause like once you, I'm not really going to spoil a whole lot, but it leaves once you, like, regardless of which side you take, because I finished my side. I chose to side with the Vanguard. And
oh, goody two shoes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Drifter's kind of a dick, you know?
Fair. I probably would have chosen, like, the other also, guys too.
Like, whenever I told him straight up, I'm just like, I'm just gonna fucking rat on you, like, straight up, man. Like, you tell him that to his face, he's like, hey man, I totally fucking get it. I'm like, all right, respect. All right. I kind of feel a little bad for that now.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, no, man, I totally get it. And like now, just in random dialogue options that he's just like talking to me, he'll just like insert the word snitch. He'll just like just call me a fucking snitch. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I kind of deserve that.
That's like in Link's Awakening when you steal something.
Right, right.
And for the rest of the game, every single person in the game refers to you by thief.
Right.
In all caps instead of whatever name you gave yourself.
It's like only him. Because obviously he's kind of on his own thing.
But he doesn't let you forget.
He does not let you forget.
He reminds you of your decision.
He understands, but he's like, I know where you are. I know where you stand, and you're a fucking snitch. I'm like, okay, no, I get that. Like, cool.
It's like, all right, man. Well, I mean, can I call you something different too? Jerk. Gotcha.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to mention that. I thought it was a really cool thing that they're doing over there.
That is cool. Do you think you'll see more of this from Destiny? Because this is all like post Activision split and all this stuff, right?
No, this was, I think, prior. This was months ago that this actually happened. I'm just playing catch up because I started playing again last month.
Well, that's cool still that there's enough that you're catching up.
There's a ton of stuff. Like, if you try to like keep up weekly with Destiny at this point, it's essentially a full-time job. Like, there is so much to do. And if you're especially working through like a quest backlog, dear fucking Lord.
But
it is a good ass game.
All right. So here's what we're doing.
Okay.
You and I, we're going to get together.
Okay.
If you're going to put Destiny in my hands.
Okay.
I want to put Hearthstone in your hands. We're going to hang out in the living room or wherever. And we're each just going to play so that we don't have to buy each other's games.
I mean, Destiny 2 is going free to play in September.
Cam, stop. Quit telling me these things.
I'm just saying, all the first year's content going free.
I can't do it.
Yeah, you can.
Oh my gosh.
Just do it.
There are too many video games.
I totally understand what you're
from. There are too many video
games.
Oh my gosh. This whole past weekend was a comfort food game weekend for me. Not even on purpose. I played a lot of games, and I didn't even play that much of God of War, which is like the one I intended to knock out. Instead, I just played a crazy amount of mostly Apex, and then a whole bunch of Minecraft, and then dabbled back in Overwatch. And I'm like,
service games will get you, man.
They sure get me.
And Destiny's kind of like the worst offender, but I mean, they're straight up about like, hey, this is a fucking MMO. Like, if you've played an MMO, it's this. But it's just a shooter, which I'm here for. It's fun. I really like it. The lore and everything is cool. Like, game feels fucking fun to play because Bungie makes a good ass shooter, you know.
Dude, if well, I was about to lie because I was gonna say if they said if Destiny had like a podcast or like an audiobook, I'd read it, but probably they do. Like, I bet they do, because I would say the same thing about Warcraft, except that definitely exists. There are a million books.
Here's the cool thing about Destiny, and I know I said we were going to take a break here in a second, so I'm going to finish this thought, and then we're going to take a break. So a lot of the items in the game have, like, lore assigned to them. So if you get, like, this cool, like, super rare item, you can just basically press triangle to inspect. I'm on PS4, obviously. And then you just hold down L2, and it brings over this window, and it's got this big thing you can read that's essentially just a story. And then a lot of lore and tidbits that you pick up throughout the course of the game are stored in a menu, so you can just go and read, like, tidbits of stories that you're getting as you unlock.
That's nice. That's nice that they don't do that, like, online codex stuff that they did in the first game.
Yeah, and there wasn't anything at all in the second one. They tried to make that a little bit more, like in Vanilla D2, they tried to make it a little bit more kind of inherent to the world, but then they realized, oh, we can just do both. And so they just added a menu that just has lore in it.
Oh, that's good.
It's good.
I love that Codex idea of like, check it out if you want or don't.
Yeah, it made things feel like kind of neutered, in my opinion. Like you didn't really... This is a good middle ground, I think.
Yeah. I think they nailed it. Way more up my alley.
Yeah.
Even like the step further that Mass Effect took was like, it's the information right in front of you.
Yeah, it's just but in
you
your codex. Yeah.
Set it and half the stuff, it will read out loud to you so you could play it on the TV and then walk around and make a sandwich, you know?
That's cool.
And listen to it. So
all right, let's take a break and we'll come back. We'll do a couple of quick little segments because we're getting running a little bit longer. So we'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. This is Greg from Red Shirts and Runabouts. We're the resident Star Trek podcast as part of the Heroes Podcast Network group. If you love Star Trek and things science fiction, we're definitely the show for you. Join us every Thursday as we talk about Star Trek Discovery, the new Picard show, and other ongoing content and new creations from the Star Trek universe. If you want to find us, search Red Shirts and Runabouts podcast on Apple and Google Play. And if you want to interact with us as a host, you can find us at Red Shirts Pod on Twitter.
Hey, and we are back. So right before we started recording, Thomas and I could not think of really kind of any news or anything that we wanted to talk about. There's definitely some stuff going on, but nothing really kind of jumped out as something that we really spent any time kind of digging into.
No, like nothing caught my eye in the past week. I will say what I didn't mention earlier. There's a Hearthstone expansion on the horizon. If you're interested in that, the cards are like they always like drip feed.
Yeah,
those cards. So those are coming out. If you're into Hearthstone, go look up one of the big websites.
Totally. Do you know when that expansion's dropping?
Beginning of August sometime.
Oh, okay. So that's real soon.
Like beginning
like a couple
mid.
Of weeks. Yeah. Is it tied to this like expansion, the single player thing that just came out?
No. That's all contained to the Dalaran stuff.
Oh,
the next one is Secrets of Uldum. It's cool. Lots of clever cards I've seen. So.
Cool. Awesome.
Looks cool.
So we thought it'd be fun if we just decided to really talk about whenever I was trying to, man, what are we going to talk about on the show? You're just like, well, World of Warcraft is coming out soon. I'm just like, okay, let's expand on that idea. And we're just going to talk, we're just each going to give just like a little bit of discussion about just a formative gaming experience that we've had. Just because I think that stuff is always really fun to talk about. I know whenever people talk about that on other shows, I really enjoy listening to it. Like just listening to people's memories and experiences and how much things mean to them. I'll just go ahead and let you kick it off, and then I'll do mine, and then we'll get into Hero of the Week and get on out of here.
So there's a whole bunch I could talk about with WoW, but what I will focus on is there's this time in the end of high school sometime during the summer, either after my junior or senior year, one of those I was hanging out with actually my buddy Ben, same guy I played Hearthstone with. We grew up together, and we were hanging out with a couple of other guys who I was less familiar with. As far as I knew, I met them through Ben, so we weren't super tight. We were still like newish friends. We hang out one night, and we start talking about music and stuff, so we're like bonding over that. But then, one of us, I think I said like lol or something, right? Like I sometimes do. And he's like, "What do you say lol out loud?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, I type it enough that." Blah blah blah.
I think everybody has at least gone through a phase of doing that. I know you still do it, but respect.
I didn't do it for a long time, and then it came back, and here I am again.
No shame or judgment. I think that's something that everybody's done at some point,
But I did that. I'm like, I type it enough in WoW that blah blah blah. And as soon as I say that, his eyebrow goes up. He's like, wait, you play WoW? It's like, I could tell by the look on his face. I was like, wait a minute, you play WoW? And then he shouts up to his buddy. He's like, dude, did you know they play Warcraft? He's like, are you kidding me? And so we start talking this out. Well, Ben and I play together on Horde on whatever server, on this faction. And the two of them played on the opposing faction on a different server. And we, all four of us, loved that game. So to find out that after hanging out together a few times, it had never come up that this thing that we each loved so much. So we spent the whole rest of the night was dedicated to us just telling stories, because this was at the beginning of Wrath of the Lich. Well, halfway through Wrath of the Lich King, which was the second expansion. This was 2009.
Why did I know that? I've never played World of Warcraft, but I can tell you, Wrath of the Lich King is, the second expansion.
Because
wasn't, the Burning Crusade, or...
This Burning Crusade was the first one.
Yeah, and then Cataclysm the third one?
Yes, it was.
Why the fuck do I know that?
Because a lot of people had my experience, which was I played really heavily for this first amount of time, and then everyone has, I stopped playing during such and such, or, whatever. I like the meme I saw ages ago, it comes up every once in a while. It says, you know how you tell that someone has played WoW since vanilla? They'll fucking tell you. True. The people who played since the beginning.
You have told me that. Just that joke, but you have told me that you played WoW since vanilla.
It's totally real.
Yeah.
It's totally
understandable.
Real. So when we found out that not only, had they been playing, but they started right after we did, but still in the early days, and it was cool because, we have been playing the same game, but we weren't on the same server, but we were also on different factions. So there were parts of the game that we just saw differently. There were some dungeons that they knew better than us, but there were quest lines that we had no idea about. But also we would have the biggest difference is they were on a PvP server. So out in the world, there was a lot more chance that if you ran into someone from the opposing faction, you were going to fight about it. There wasn't, in ours, we were PvE, so unless you were intentionally trying to fight someone, you were pretty much safe. If an alliance person showed up to us, we'd just be like, oh, look at that guy. What's he doing out here? Mm-hmm. But for them, they would see a Horde character and be like, oh, we're about to battle. I don't know what I was doing before, but now I'm about to battle. And it leads to these interesting encounters and all this stuff. Ben and I did this thing. So on a PvE server, if you want to make yourself, you can flag yourself for combat. So we're on the Horde and we can only be attacked if we're flagged, which has on our portrait, you'll see a picture of the Horde symbol, vice versa with the Alliance. So someone can see as soon as they click your portrait or mouse over you or anything, oh, this person is attackable, targetable. Normally you're not on our server, but if you are flagged, you will be. You can become flagged for a bunch of different reasons, but the point is that usually it's very intentional. So Ben and I would do this thing where he would go up and he would duel someone. So whether they're on your faction or not, you can duel anybody and they have to accept. And no matter what, at the end of the duel, you're always left alive. You'll be left with one hit point, even if you had fire on you where you were burning over time, it will poof disappear and you'll survive. That's the whole point of duels. So Ben came up with this devious idea where you would duel someone and he had a macro that, he'd hit a button and all at the same time, it would forfeit the duel. It would flag you for PvP. And the person was already planning on attacking you. They would be targeting you thinking they're dueling, but now you forfeited the duel and flagged yourself. So they're still attacking you. But as soon as they attack you, now they're flagged. As soon as they're flagged,
that is some devious bullshit.
Dude, so we killed some people. So we'd be out in the wild. You'd be out in the boonies, just the middle of nowhere. And you'd see, a gnome roll up. There's this one specific time we were up in Winter Spring. So Winter Spring is a high-ish level vanilla zone. And we were way out there and it was me and Ben, this gnome and his friend. And Ben, he looks at me, he's like, oh, you know what I'm about to do, right? And he goes up and he duels this guy. The guy accepts it. Immediately Ben does his bullshit. So the guy gets flagged and Ben's just like, ah, we're fighting for real now. And kills him. And the other dude, he had seen this. I don't remember if he had attacked or whatever, but I think we were able to kill him too because he engaged or something. Because even if you like heal somebody who's flagged, now you're flagged too.
Because so, you're like technically participating in that combat.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And oh boy, was that some devious stuff.
Fuck that.
So that stuff was super fun, but we were sharing stories like that. Mm-hmm. And our friend shared this story when Wrath of the Lich King came out. Of course, when it's brand new, the best thing about new content is that it's new to everybody. Coming into content that's new to you but old to everyone else can be lopsided.
Yeah, I'm running into that a lot with Destiny right now.
Yeah. There's definitely like a real reason that you buy a game right when it comes out.
Sure.
Especially when it's games as a service like that.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's only going to be one time where everyone's new to it. After that, everybody's figured it out. They've min-maxed it. You know, you're just going to be behind. Even if it seems like you're equal, you're going to be behind people who've done it before. So you go into this new expansion area. And it's got all the, like, Wrath of the Lich King had some cool environments. Everything was huge. And there's this one zone. It happened to be the zone I started in. Because a cool thing about that expansion was there were two different zones that you could start in. And then you would expand your way towards the middle of the content. And then, like, continent, sorry. And then you would move further north into, like, the big spooky areas. But the quest lines and the environments in that expansion were fucking awesome. They were seriously so cool.
That's cool.
So in this particular zone that he started in, that we also started in, the Borean Tundra, somehow I remember that, had these volcanic areas where you'd just be walking on top of these hills, and if you weren't careful, there were just holes in the hill, and you would fall, maybe not to your death, but could be, into these pits, these caverns that were humongous. And there would be all sorts of spooky things in there, but the entrance would be at the top, so if you fell into this thing, now you had to fight your way up out of it. But there are all these cliffs and pits and all this stuff. Well, our buddy's telling us this story where he's in the PvP zone, so he's automatic or in a PvP server. So since he's in a neutral zone with Horde and Alliance outposts in it, you're automatically flagged all the time. So when anybody shows up, you better be ready for it. So he is fighting on these cliffs doing a quest, right? And all of a sudden, this dude comes up to him. Well, he was playing a hunter. Hunters during that expansion got an ability where normally the trick to killing a hunter is get as close to them as you possibly can, because for them to use their ranged weapons, you have to be more than like 5 feet away. So if you get super close, they can't shoot you anymore. They can't, you know, they can't do anything. But in this expansion, they made an ability called like disengage or something where you would fly back, like would fly like 20 feet back and you'd be able to keep shooting at whatever you were shooting at. So he's in this cliffy area and somebody attacks him. And so he's like, oh, okay, okay. So he sticks his pet on him. And, you know, he's fighting, and he's like setting traps, like doing all this stuff. They're both
doing
obviously
hunter shit.
Doing hunter shit. But it's like a real fight with environmental stuff. It's not just like a lot of the PvP in the battlegrounds where it's like, all right, we're in an open, desolate field.
Sure.
You and me, let's do this.
It's like a fight at the end of like an action movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly
great.
What it is.
Great.
Which is really the biggest perk of a PvP server. Because when you're out in the world, anything can happen. So he's up there and he's doing all that stuff, laying traps, you know, using his pet and all that stuff. And so finally, like, they're fighting up this mountain. Like, he keeps backing up and he's going further and further up this mountain. And he straight up does this move, like, he's attacking this guy and he disengages but falls down into a pit.
No.
And he's like, and he's sitting there because he's like, not only are there tons of enemies around me now who are just going to kill me because I'm low, but he looks up. And the dude jumps down after him. So now they're both at super low health. And like the way he described it, I thought at first that he was lying, but then he described how everything went down. But they were scrapping. So they would fight for a little bit and then turn around and be like, oh, I got to kill these enemies. Like, I just backed into a bunch of enemies. But then they would like get a little respite and hide and like bandage up. You know, you didn't have time to like eat food and properly heal, but instead you were just like on the go healing the way that you would in a battleground. And they fought all the way up this spiral inside the mountain until they were up on top. And I assume that in the end he won, but honestly, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter at that point. that is very much about the journey rather than destination.
It was so cool to hear. It was so fun that we were all excited about the same thing. And it was so cool that we had no idea that we had this thing in common, this love of World of Warcraft. And then when we started telling these stories, it was like we were old buddies, you know. It was just like, oh, you know stuff that I know. Yeah. Oh, we're friends now.
That's always a good time.
Dude, there are tons of WoW stories I've heard, you know, cool and uncool, crazy and over the top. But those stories where you can really, like, you feel like you're really getting to know someone based on your bonding over games, ugh, nothing better.
So mine is not so much a story, but just kind of a fond memory. Excuse me. So Halo 3. I jumped into that real hard. It was kind of the first game I got that I really played a whole lot of. I had that and Guitar Hero World Tour on my Xbox 360. And I would basically be in the mood for one of the other and would just constantly be playing one of the other. And I don't remember kind of how it happened. I think it was just kind of like a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. And then we all just started playing games together. And just like really just really fun memories that I have playing games were filling a lobby of 16 people that I could like at the time call like my internet friends. And then everybody would just like pony up and share their favorite custom games that they found or they made.
That's cool.
And it was such a fucking blast. The reason that I still have my Xbox 360 and I refuse to kind of part with it is because all of those games that I had are still saved on that hard drive. Like that stuff really does mean a whole lot to me. Like, and that kind of gets back into what we talked about a little bit on that challenge mode episode of like people making their own fun with it. And Halo 3 had Forge.
Yeah.
And Forge is fucking awesome.
It's so cool.
There were maps that people would play. Like, did you play a lot of Halo 3?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, did you ever play Duck Hunt?
Yep.
Yeah. So, we played a lot of Duck Hunt, which is, if you're unfamiliar, is essentially you load into, the one that I played at least, was you load into Foundry, and somebody has a sniper rifle, and everybody has, like, super low health, except for that person with the sniper rifle. And you basically are running across, like, this shooting gallery while the person with the sniper rifle is just trying to pick all of you off. And then if you get to the end, then you basically get like a superpower and then you can kill the guy and then win the round for your team. And like just playing around with that stuff was a lot of fun. So we just like kind of played a whole lot of that. There was one where somebody built a Jenga tower out of like pieces in Forge and hovered it over somewhere. And somebody on the field had to take a gravity hammer and knock objects into man cannons and try and break down the tower and like knock you off. There was one where you basically, they set up like some barriers to where you couldn't shoot people directly. You had to bounce your sniper shots and like score headshots because body shots wouldn't kill.
Oh my gosh.
Just a ton of fun stuff like that. And that was kind of my first, not really my first, first was probably like fucking Neopets, but that was really kind of the first time that the concept of internet friends really hit home because I was in like high school and like some of these people were in like college or older, like some of them had like kids and stuff like that. But like, it was really cool that I knew all of these people like by name based on their tag. And I like knew what was going on in their lives. Like it was kind of a good social outlet for a lot of us. And whenever like Modern Warfare got big, we all kind of slowly moved over to that, but kind of no matter what happened until like all of us just kind of moved off into different things, we would just always kind of get together and play Halo games. And it was a really, really cool thing that I really deeply appreciate. And like Halo 3 is fun as hell, but I think just having that like really cool memory and that emotional attachment to like that group of people who, like, to be honest, I don't talk to any of them anymore, which is kind of fine. Like, we just drifted apart, you know? But there's, like, maybe one or two or three of them that I, like, still know their names and, like, I'm still, like, sort of connected on social media with. Mm-hmm. But it was it was a really neat, cool thing, and promoting, like, that kind of cool creativity and, like, sharing all of these fun things that you could do with that, with just people that just happened to be wanting just the kind of same thing that you were, was a really neat experience.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, let's go ahead and get into the Hero of the Week this week, the new segment that we launched, where we are highlighting people who are doing really cool things in the gaming space, things that either resonate with one or both of us or just are really cool, positive stuff. People I want to shout out this week are a music group that do a lot of YouTube videos. They have a pretty active Discord as well. It's the J Music Ensemble. They are described as the NYC's J-pop jazz band, and that's pretty spot on. So I got into them. A friend of mine linked me a live recording of a Persona 5 cover that they did, and it was way better than it kind of had any right to be. Mm-hmm. It was about a character in that game who goes through a lot of like loss and trauma and like a lot of stuff involving the fact that like her mom was killed and kind of digging deep into that side of stuff and like music that's like tied to her. They added like this rap verse to, and it's like completely not in actual Persona 5 at all, and it's just, it punches you right in the fucking gut in like the best way. It's mm-hmm. really, really well done and really great. The band also just fucking rips. Like, they are so good. They put out just a ton of stuff constantly. They did I'm gonna link a video of theirs that I think everybody should check out. It's probably their most accessible one, is a cover of Simple and Clean from Kingdom Hearts. It's fucking great. It's really good. But they do also have this acoustic series that they do, J Music Acoustic, which they, I believe, have like a residency at a coffee shop in Brooklyn where they just go play like this jazz combo style stuff of a lot of stuff you would see in like Smash Bros. Or like a lot of well-known Nintendo music. Like, let me just pull up their YouTube page real quick. This is taken. This is not good radio. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
That's what editing's for.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to edit this out.
Hey.
So they've done like stuff from like the Kirby games is like the most recent thing they did. They do a lot of fucking Persona 5 covers, which I obviously think are great and really resonate with me. But yeah, they've done like Lifelight, which is the theme to Smash Ultimate, which is really great.
Oh, that's what that is?
Yeah.
Lifelight?
Yeah. They did like Yoshi's Song from Yoshi's Story with fucking kick-ass accordion cover. Like, really? Accordion solo in it. Dude's a monster.
Okay, I need to check this out. This is really kind of wacky, it sounds like.
Straight up way better than you would kind of expect any sort of like Japanese music cover band in America to be, because they're really into it. There's a good video that the bassist Adam Neely put up about just talking to the kind of founder and frontman of the band. His name's Patrick. He's a fucking monster saxophone player. He just talks about why just kind of that J-pop style and sound really resonates with a whole lot of people. I really recommend you guys check that video out. He kind of gets into how it's got this like very melancholy feel. Like, the music itself seems kind of very sad and like kind of a downer, but the lyrics, or at least like how the vocals sound, are very upbeat. So it's this like kind of like cool mixture that kind of emotionally resonates with people. So big shout out to those guys. Every time they put up a video, I go watch it immediately, listen to it probably all day. Their stuff gets stuck in my head more than the actual songs that they're covering. So definitely recommend you guys go check them out.
Sweet.
That they are at J Music Band on Twitter, I believe. They are also on YouTube. Just search for J Music Ensemble. Definitely go check them out.
Heck yeah.
Cool. So pull up my ending script for the show, because I don't have it memorized yet.
Heck,
that's gonna do it for the show, everyone. Thanks for stopping by. If you like what you heard, consider kicking us some money at patreon.com/heroespodcasts. That would help out a whole lot. We're currently exploring doing some Patreon exclusive content, which we'll see if it gets off the ground. We're still very much in the idea phase, so if you have any ideas for anything you'd like to see or hear, let us know.
I'd like to see you play the accordion.
God, me too. The accordion's so fucking cool.
I really do like the accordion, actually.
So fucking cool.
All right, you learn accordion, I'm gonna learn saxophone. We're gonna be a two-man band.
Great.
Heck yeah.
So if you have any questions for us or anything, hit us up on Twitter at GamerHeroesPod. Any submissions or questions or anything you have, likely we'll make the show, so let us know. You can also find me on Twitter at TheCamdyMan. Thomas is at TeganNotSarah1.
Yeah, baby.
Set us up if you have anything you'd like to do for the show. We're both pretty open and approachable people, I would like to think.
I would like to think.
So,
All right, that all sounds pretty good. This show is going to come out on Wednesday, but today we're recording on Monday. So when this does come out, everybody at Cam and wish him a happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, today is my birthday.
Aw.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for Thomas and myself, thank you so much, everyone. And I hope you have a great night and a better tomorrow.